What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new edition of Nerd Thug Radio, broadcasting basically everywhere because we push record right here at home. This is Corey DLG, and with me, as always, is little brother Nico.
Hello, hello.
And we are hanging out doing the Nerd Thug Radio thing, welcoming in yet another weekend on this kind of drizzly, wet Friday. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
Okay, that's it for that. We'll we won't go back there. doing well, huh? What are you up to? Did you get anything fun this week?
Yeah, friend's birthday. I realize how many of my friends' birthdays are in the same month, which is very weird.
What month is it? This month?
Yeah, there's three in July.
Okay, so I like to play the game of what does that mean for 9 months earlier? So July is the seventh month. So that means you got a lot of Halloween babies.
Yeah.
So a lot of Halloween baby making leads to July babies.
That's what they say anyways.
So that means your friend's parents were freaks. Ooh. A lot of costumes.
That's a little uncomfortable to think about.
I mean, you're the one whose friend's parents are weirdos, not me.
That's a fair point.
A lot of costumes. What's that scarecrow doing to that Mary Poppins, Daddy? We don't know. Don't talk about it. Yeah, that's what I like to do that though. Like when people are like, "Oh, am I?" I like to think about what that means 9 months earlier.
I don't. That's a terrible idea.
I kind of unconsciously do it almost every time someone tells me when their birthday is. I just immediately I'm like 9 months ago. Oh, okay, all right. And there's obvious ones, right? So like if you're born early December, late Halloween, you're or late Thanksgiving, I mean, you're a Valentine's Day baby. You know, if you're born in September, middle-y September, you're like a newborn, you're a New Year's Eve baby. I think I'm a Christmas baby.
Look at that.
Yeah, so I play that game a lot. I like to, because typically there's like an odd, because listen, we know what it's like, right? Like things get stale. Things get old. And then it's like holidays and special occasions. Right, parents? Right, folks?
Right, people?
Right, everyone. Feel free to put on Facebook how often you... No, never mind.
it's going to get real weird.
yeah, so that's kind of where we're... that's what I like to do. That's my game. That's what I play. Hey, big news, buddy. Big news. Congratulations all around. They did it. They finally did it.
What'd they do?
You didn't know? You haven't heard?
No.
Oh, man. The Flash has now passed $100 million domestically. They did it.
It only took them...
like 6 weeks.
Yeah, 9 weeks.
This movie is slated to lose around $200 million.
Yeah, baby. This has been a talking point I've been seeing up a lot lately. Is a lot of people are like, is Hollywood dead? Because they had all these movies come out and like to like, absolute monumental failures.
Well, okay, I don't really think it's that complicated. I think some of these, okay, I mean, let's be really honest. Aside from the absurdity that we like to laugh at and make fun of, like, if you're the less than average movie, if you're the average moviegoer, not nerds like us who are going to see most things, The Flash's lead actor wasn't even part of the publicity tour. You know, and Ben Affleck, who plays one of the Batman, he didn't do a lot of publicity for this. The person everyone saw the most was the actress who played Supergirl. I didn't even see Michael Keaton really anywhere. So, like, the person making the rounds on the late shows and all that stuff wound up being, you know, like the third character in the movie. And it's not a Supergirl movie. It's The Flash. So I think if your main actor can't do the publicity for the movie, I think that says something about your movie a little bit.
Well, in the fact that this movie has been in development for like 9 quintillion years.
Yeah, but I don't think that matters to the average person. You and me, yes, we kind of expected this movie probably was going to struggle. It did test. This is okay. Some of the best scores ever for a DC film, in test markets for this,
which is very odd because the user, like the regular person reviews it, were all like, "Man, what's this PS2 looking game?"
Yeah. So apparently the special effects didn't look great. There's a lot of questionable stuff. But ultimately, like they couldn't support. They just couldn't. When there's an Iron Man movie, Robert Downey Jr. is on everything. Like, everyone interviews Robert Downey Jr. for an Iron Man movie.
Again, but he's really likable. Ezra Miller is literally a criminal.
Well, no, and I think that's the problem, is they couldn't put Ezra Miller on Jimmy Fallon and on any of the shows. Like, I mean, I just don't think it would have worked. I think he needed to do, like, a talk show thing, like, a year ago. And, like, do the mea culpa and the I'm so sorry's and the, you know what I mean? Like, play the game. But he didn't do that.
It's because he doesn't think he did anything wrong.
I agree. I think the studio has no control over him as an individual. And
they're like, are you going to say you're sorry, Ezra? And he's like, I did nothing wrong. That wouldn't deserve it.
And I think what he's most sorry for is that he has to even take the phone call from these studio people. Right.
He's like, I'm doing you a favor. And they're like, how about we don't invite you to the press tour? You know what? You're fine.
I'm the Flash. You're not.
I'm surprised this movie even came out. I really was surprised.
This wound up being a pretty big mistake on their part. Like, of all the movies that Warner Brothers and HBO, whatever, could have chosen not to release, this wound up being the wrong choice.
Yeah, this is the weird one that I always say, like, if that's the hill you want to die on, this is a weird hill to die on.
Yeah, and you're right. They kind of absolutely chose, I don't know. They made an odd choice as far as, like, yeah, let's, because there's still an Aquaman movie to come behind this, so I'm not sure, and Shazam kind of came out, like, right ahead of it. I think they just did a really poor job in structuring their universe. Like, Marvel doesn't release on top of each other like that, you know what I mean?
And even when they do, they're, like, separate parts of the universe.
Yeah, and they really go out of their way to really support their movies. I just think that they just under-supported this Flash movie, and it got all
the support it needs. It got made because it took them 10 years to do it.
You know,
all the support. This is what I mean, like, because it took them 10 years to make it, because all of the hard work was on the, like, the pre-end, so they have no energy. Like, if you're budgeting out a movie, or if you're doing all this legwork to plan and prep and plan and prep, and everything starts falling apart right at the seams. You've been doing this thing for 10 years. And then, like, it's finally coming out. You're like, I don't care. Just put it on this.
Yeah, I think that there is sort of an element of that, like, that happens sometimes. Right? Like, I think every artist is guilty of it a little bit, where they get to the edge, the end of it, and they just go, you know what, like, I see 10 things wrong with it still, but let's just finish it. Let's just call it a wrap. And this movie wasn't ready, I guess.
Yeah. Some people were like, and the VFX artists, like, it honestly probably isn't even their fault that this movie looks like this, because they probably had 2 weeks to do it.
Yeah, that feels like the weirder part of this. As long as they had... This movie somehow still wound up being rushed by the end. And, ultimately, I think that that's sort of the nature of poor planning at this point.
Yeah, and definitely a lack of leadership from the entirety of Warner Brothers in DC.
Yeah.
Like, I think having having a head, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, where we talked about when James Gunn got appointed to be the head of DC movies over there to like lead the charge here, and it's like finally a unifying figure.
Yeah, I think it's because DC movies really, really needed one, because I don't think
they didn't have any. They didn't have anyone who was a strong filmmaker leading it, because they had like comics people, other directors. Like, it was never consistent. Like, the vision wasn't there. They didn't have anyone like. What's his name? Feige? Kevin Feige?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is Kevin Feige is not a comic book guy. Not a comic book guy. As a matter of fact, as they were building these movies, when it came time to learn the source material, Kevin Feige was like, I don't know, ask the Marvel dudes. Like, I don't know anything about it. And that led to them making the Marvel creative crew, or whatever they were called, where those top creators would come in and talk to the movie makers and kind of guide them on their decision making. If you recall, Jon Favreau famously said that originally the Mandarin was going to be the first villain for the Iron Man movie, and it was Mark Millar and Brian Bendis who like talked him out of it, because they were so adamant that that's going to be a really hard thing to translate, and there are so many better pieces like Ironmonger that they can work with.
Which, by the way, what a pick, right?
Listen. If there's two guys who understand comic books, and Jon Favreau, I think, is a good storyteller, but I think it's important to be able to kind of know a better idea when you hear it, right? Like you and I have talked about this before. There's a lot of ego involved in anything that anybody does, and like you have to be able to know when you hear a better idea. And when they heard they wanted to do Mandarin, they're like, "Look, Mandarin's great, but if you want to do Mandarin, first you have to establish incredible technology with Tony Stark. Then you have to establish incredible magic. How does magic work? What's that going to look like? Plus, you have to get over the fact that the Mandarin looks like a, you know, an Asian stereotype. Like, there's so much to kind of tackle in one movie. Like, just do one little thing, and then just really hammer it. And that wound up being the right way to do that. But I do think it's really important that the lead people go to these, like, do this publicity. Listen, the reason they all do it is because it works. The Fast Crew, I didn't see anybody from the Fast Crew advertising their movie, and it debuted poorly, but, like, I didn't see Vin Diesel anywhere.
Dude, he was too busy playing with all his street sharks at home.
That's, you know, like, it's just, like, the one property that no one's brought back.
I know, it's because it's just worse Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not a question.
I just always laugh because, like, they tear up the streets everywhere they go. It seems like it'd be really easy to, like, know their secret hideout, figure out their identity, like...
Yeah, no, you could definitely 100% find the street sharks. I think this is why they don't work as well. It was part of that animal craze where, like, you had, like, the street sharks, the biker mice from Mars, like, the weird, like, ooh, anthropomorphic... Ooh.
I forgot about the biker mice from Mars, man.
Can't forget about the biker mice from Mars.
They were legit, man.
Yeah. even like there was like that like anthropomorphic character action E type thing that like everything had it, and it was super wacky. And it's funny because post this, like, we've had like 5 million Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and somehow like 90% of them are still good.
Yeah, and something that's interesting about the Ninja Turtles is that kind of whatever iteration you grew up with, it just wound up being like the one you know, but also like they all kind of hold their own water. So like when you're comparing them to others, like people are like, oh yeah, that one was cool too. I remember that one. Like there haven't been a lot of lame versions of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's because like even the what's even crazier is that even the live action movies.
Oh, like, those were awesome.
They hold up. They're great. They're the props of, by the way, the surviving props of those, terrifying.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like in the wrong light, they look like Five Nights at Freddy's type things. They're terrifying.
Yeah, but like, how often does that happen? Like, I can think of like 10 different versions of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that are not only like good, but like I would definitely recommend to someone.
That's a good point. I don't actually know another franchise that has kind of survived so many reboots.
And, like, all the reboots have had different merits and have been good. Like, obviously the 80s cartoon, one started it all. And then, like, the live-action movies are great. The 03 cartoon is great. The 07 time travel one was great. The Nickelodeon reboot was great. The second Nickelodeon reboot was great. The, yeah, like, 2006 movie was good.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's, like, an animated movie kind of in the middle of that. And then they just released a new movie. And yeah, then right now, the Seth Rogen one is about to come out. We, like, you and I went and saw one of them in the theaters, and that one was good. And I don't think they ever followed up on that one.
Yeah, like, like individually, all of those are all separate and also good.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know. I would be real curious to see, like, behind the scenes, who's involved.
I think it's because they always
wind up, like, good.
I genuinely believe it's because everyone who's had it has genuinely cared.
Like, yeah, maybe what it is, I mean,
because obviously, like, when the original creators, because they only recently got back the, like, rights to the Ninja Turtles, and I think one of them passed.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know they just got the rights, but I don't know if that second part is accurate or not. I haven't heard that, but I know, like, they have the rights to the original, specifically the original comic book series and anything like that.
So yeah, because they had sold them a long time.
Different, and then now you see, like, their two names. I don't remember what their names are. So, like, Todd and Justin's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is how they labeled their version of the Turtles. And those are doing well. They're action figures and all kinds of great stuff. The Last Ronin was part of that storytelling.
Yeah, see, and that's coming all the way back to deep in the future now. And they're in the old Turtles lore.
Right. But that was a big comic book relaunch, and if you remember, the thing that started it all was they were a fun little comic book, a little indie book.
Yep. Absolutely insane. It's just one of those things that, like, that despite time, because you always hear the story of, like, oh, they're rebooting X franchise, and then it's terrible.
No, you do, and that's, you're really right on the nose there with, like, something is different about how they do that, and I am curious about that. Now that we're talking about it, I am curious to see if it's just in how they draw up the deal to do each of these things.
I don't know. I just feel like it. All of them, because all of them are also, like, so very unique.
They're different, man. Like, and they're different from the version right before them. Each of them. So, like, if you compare the old school cartoon I grew up watching, where every episode ended with them eating pizza in the sewer. And April O'Neil was this tall white lady with a bob haircut. And then the movie comes out. And in the movie, like, first of all, some of the most gorgeous animatronic faces on anything I've ever seen. Like, those movies still hold up now because it was all practical. I don't know how they get those. I don't know how they did karate and turtle suits, but they did, and it looked great.
It's called very small actors and very impressive. Well,
this isn't very nice, but when you're talking about karate, you've got a pretty wide range of tiny people to choose from.
That's true. And, like, maybe it's just, like, the death. Because, like, even, like, going back, I talked about this movie a lot because it's, like, the first movie I saw that, like, really surprised me with the practical effects and how terrifying it is. The Fly 2.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum's The Fly 2.
Horrifying. Like, practical effects, like, hate you certain, like, some kind of way.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of, like, when you can do it, like, and movies got away from that for a long, like, the Marvel movies now just flat out, they don't even do the costumes anymore. Looking at what they actually looks like on set filming Avengers Endgame versus what they appear to wear on screen is fascinating to me at that point. Because they digitally draw on complete super suits.
Yeah, like, why even have a super suit? The man walks out and he's wearing a little mocap suit, and you're like, what is that? Who's that?
Right.
And you're like, that's Thanos.
It could literally be anybody at that point. And that is what's fascinating. The practical effects, though, they do hit a certain way. But they've got to be good. And there was something really, like, the Ninja Turtles just had a certain quality to it that was kind of surprising considering it ultimately was meant to be a children's thing, but like those movies did well enough for two sequels. The Ninja Turtles as a franchise just keeps bouncing back. I mean, they're sort of immortal at this point. But yeah. I do sort of wonder about that. I do wonder, now that you've pointed that out, it's like, you know, the He-Man and Transformers and everyone else, they come back different every time, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And you got to wonder, what's the difference? The Thundercats tried to make a comeback and it didn't stick.
I didn't even, like, this. The sequel never even, like, happened. They were like, we're going to make Thundercats again. Thundercats roar. And then it just never happened. I don't even think that show ever went to air.
Right. I don't
people threw such a fit that it didn't even exist.
Right. So, like,
they bullied it off and they bullied it out of existence.
It's up there with the Russian space station. Like, it's weird to me. You're right. Somehow the Ninja Turtles kind of avoided the whole thing. And I couldn't tell you why, because there's not a person involved with it that would strike me as somebody who has the power to make Hollywood be better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm the guy who made them not screw up a reboot. Like, where are you every other time?
Where are you everywhere? And not one reboot, like nine.
Yeah, why aren't you working? Like, how come you're not the reboot guy at that point?
Well, did we find out that there's been, like, a secret turtle, like,
well, mob? I mean, there's got to be, right? Like, there's got to be this one guy who's involved in the Turtle Project every time that when they bring him on, he's like, oh, yeah, you can't do that.
They call him the Shredder, you know.
But they're like, yeah, we're going to make Donatello a guinea pig. And he's like, nah, that's not going to happen, bro.
And it's funny that, like, sometimes they make changes and then, like, the changes will stick. So, like, the previous Netflix, Rise of the TMNT, made April O'Neil black, and now she's just black now. It's fine. No one actually cares.
Well, and so here's an interesting tidbit. The original comic books were black and white.
And she had, like, curly hair. She looked black in the comics.
April O'Neil was based on one of the two of them's girlfriend at the time. And the girl, there's a picture of her floating around now on the internet because of all this. Is in fact half black. So in the photo, she's a black girl. And so that was who they use as the template for April O'Neil. So it's actually everything else that got it wrong. And when they finally started to correct it, yeah, it stuck.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's so interesting because every iteration is so different and so unique. I think the only two that are even close to each other is like, Fast Forward in the 03 cartoon, and it's because their personalities are the same, but like the settings are wildly different, so nothing's the same.
Yeah, I don't remember which one is Fast Forward.
Fast Forward's the one where they get sent to the future and they all have like basically super tech, but like because the turtles aren't there, all the bad guys are in like control of these like mega corporations.
That's funny.
It is funny. Like, it's a really interesting idea. And they all, like, they're trying to find a way to go back in time so they can go back and
so stop they can undo the, yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, listen, time travel, let's do it.
Yeah. And the funny part is that it's not even the first time the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles have used time travel.
No, they've used it several times. It was in the live action movies. It was the third one. The Way of the Samurai.
Also, we forgot. There is one Turtles reboot that did not hit.
Uh-oh.
The Michael Bay Turtles.
But you know what? I'm not going to say that because I think those did a solid 400.
Oh no, they made Michael Bay money. They were certainly not failures, but they were the ones I think are the lowest regarded of the ones.
Yeah, they're probably the most disposable. But even that, I mean, they put Megan Fox in a movie, so somewhere they at least did right by the.
It really was just the 80s again. They just were like, all right, we did Transformers. All right, I'll do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, all right, great.
Listen, if there's somebody who
and just... G.I. Joe was also right there, too, because that was around the same time that the new Joe came out.
No, it really was. And none of those movies are any good.
Nope.
None of them. That's, you know what? That's a fair point. Okay, so have we talked about this? I don't think we've talked about this yet on the show. They've made the decision they're going to kill Ms. Marvel.
Kamala Khan?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Why? That's weird.
She died recently in an issue of Spiderman.
Oh, Spiderman.
And a lot of people are mad because A, she didn't even die in her own book. B, she died in kind of a, there's sort of a, it's catching a lot of flack for being a dumb storyline. Essentially, I think Spider-Man and Mary Jane got sent to an alternate universe for a minute. And while they were there, Spider-Man pissed off some sort of alternate universe creature god thing, and it vowed revenge by requiring a sacrifice from the life of Spider-Man. So, fast forward, things are happening. Spider-Man and Mary Jane get separated. When they come back together, Spider-Man finds out that Mary Jane is now with a guy who has two kids, and she thinks that's her family, and she's happy with them. It turns out they're refugees from that universe they ran from. The revenge guy shows up, and Miss Marvel, towards the end of this, shows up to help Spider-Man. And keep in mind, she embiggens parts of her body and can shapeshift. So without knowing that it was a life-threatening maneuver, she shapeshifts into the form of Mary Jane. And the revenge dude shows up and kills her instead of the real Mary Jane.
Man, that is a really unceremonious death.
It's really very kind of dumping Kamala Khan. Now, it's going to have consequences for Spider-Man, for Norman Osborn, for Mary Jane. It's going to have a big effect on them in their book, is what Marvel is saying. But a lot of people were like, this is your one, like, Muslim character. This is your one, like, teenage female lead. Like, are we really sure this is the right move here? And the catch, they caught a lot of flack for it. It's kind of been an unexciting move. The Spider-Man movement is kind of getting rejected right now. He's losing steam, the title. But ultimately, the payoff is that they're trying to get away from the Inhuman stuff. Kamala Khan is an Inhuman. In the comic books, it doesn't matter as much. But they're going to try and closer parallel her to what they want to do in the TV verse and the movie verse and all that. So they're going to bring her back as a mutant.
I don't really know what her powers are. I haven't watched the Miss Marvel show. She's so got like a weird show, like hard light construct power, right?
Yeah, it was almost like she was a bit of a Green Lantern.
Bit of a Green Lantern.
Like, a very Indian girl Green Lantern is how it kind of came across.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's the end result of all that, of where they're going to land here in 6 months. But I don't know that it was the right move to get there. She could have had her own miniseries. I don't think she has a book going right now anyway.
That's another thing. And to be killed so unceremoniously, not even in your title book, it definitely feels like, oh man, we got to do something with Kamala Khan. We got to like rework her powers. And they're like, kill her. And they're like, well, how? Nothing's happening right now. And they're like, put her in Spider-Man and kill her.
Yeah, it does feel very much like they were looking at their board like, where can we shove this? Like, where does it fit anywhere?
Like,
I don't know.
Not even saving people.
Not even in a big crossover or anything. Like,
yeah, like,
you know, where they should have done it is in the Eternals, Avengers, X-Men war that just happened. The Judgment Day stuff.
Yeah, just make her tangentially involved. She doesn't have to be.
Well, like, she could have been just so. Like, what happened is, The Eternals on Earth fight Deviants, is what they're called. Deviants are like the counterpart to the Eternals. There's a new leader of the Eternals, and he's kind of a bad guy, but he won in a Unimind vote through some trickery. So he's now the leader of the Eternals tribe. Well, he declares the X-Men Deviants, which sets the two of them on a path of war. As a matter of fact, they use Thanos' father in a really cool way. His name is like, I think Unos or something like that. And he's been locked in like in a perpetual prison. And they let him loose for 1 hour and give him access to his ancient arsenal. And he goes to Mars, which is where the Arako people live. And in 1 hour, he murders like a third of the planet. And then when the hour's up, they put him back in his cage. as part of the truce that winds up being negotiated. It's like it's widespread global conflict. Everything's going crazy. The Avengers and X-Men put together a team that basically hides. The Avengers have been living inside a dead celestial, and they basically build an engine to run that body. Well, it goes rogue and decides it's the last living celestial, and it decides to pass judgment on Earth.
Nice, get pranked.
And so that leads, like, just global conflict, and everything's going crazy. When they negotiate peace, part of the peace negotiated is Orako is given the right to use Udis for 1 hour of their own choosing anywhere in the world. So when they do the Fall of Sinister stuff, where Sinister takes over the, like, the X-Men timeline, the Orako uses it on the Eternals.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice little, like, poetic touch to do there. Like, okay, we're ready to claim our hour. Like, where do you want to use it? Like, right here. Like,
right now.
right here on you guys.
They're like, ooh, we didn't think about that one.
Okay. 1 hour.
Timer starts now.
Yeah. But so it is a real, like, that was at least a big crossover event. Like, it got the three big franchises moving, right? Like, it sets the stage for each of them and did some stuff. Like, you could have had her die in the middle of that, and someone could have been like, you know, we got to honor her sacrifice, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or, like, make it, like, a sticking point. And, you know, you can still involve Spider-Man in some way if you really want it. If you really are like, this is very important to Spider-Man. But, like, I don't know how close they were.
She, like, looked up to him, but she's really a Miss Marvel stan. So, really, it makes more sense for her stuff to happen in a Captain Marvel book. But right now, Captain Marvel's doing a bunch of big off-world stuff. Like, it just wasn't the right place or time. And it really kind of comes across that way.
Yep. Congratulations, guys.
Also, in the world of Spider-Man, right now, Mary Jane has what they're calling jackpot powers, like the ability to create great luck. And they're now just going to keep rolling with that. And she's even to the point of now wearing a costume in the Black Cat Mary Jane series.
Mm-hmm.
It feels pretty dumb.
Hilariously enough, that is not even that new of a power set. Domino is basically that power.
Well, the Black Cat has had that power before. As a matter of fact, she used to have the power, because if a black cat crosses your path, you get bad luck. She used to have the power of bad luck, and it was at least cleverly written that she didn't tell people. So, like, stuff would happen to Spider-Man, and Black Cat was, like, Spider-Man's love interest, but not Peter Parker's.
Mm-hmm.
This was what happened during a time when he was a swinging bachelor. And he was wearing, like, the black suit back then also. And so she kind of dug, like, his attitude a little bit. She was like that he was a little bit of a bad boy. But, like, bad stuff would happen to him. And she would literally, like, be having thought bubbles where she's like, should I tell him that I caused bad luck? That my powers probably did this? Or should I just keep my mouth closed? And she's like, maybe I'll tell him later. Like, thanks. Thanks, kitty. Thanks, friend.
You're so nice. I'm so glad that you're doing this.
Yeah. So, like, it's not even original in the Spider-Man or Black Cat world. So, it's just a...
One of my favorite uses of that power, there's a character in a One Piece movie that has that power. And she's basically untouchable because she's so lucky. And so what one of the characters does, because he's a super genius, is he launches a giant casino at her. So she uses all of her luck winning all the jackpots, and then they just beat her up because she doesn't have any more luck.
Well, listen, one thing I do like about animes is, like, they take things to their full limit. So, like, I like the idea that, like, he was like, I'll just let her win all the jackpots and then kick her butt. So I think that's kind of funny. I don't know. I still like mainstream comics. I still love comics just in general anyway. But I definitely think this isn't their brightest moment. And I think right now,
this is not our strongest story. This is not our brightest moment.
It's really not. San Diego Comic-Con is a little bit later this month. And basically all of the Hollywood studios have said they're not going to have booths. They're not going to do a big presence. Warner Brothers still has, like, a slate of animated stuff to debut. But other than that, they're not getting into it. Like they're genuinely, because of the writer's strike, there is like no Hollywood presence at this year's San Diego Comic Con. I think that's an interesting thing.
Oh, that's a fair point. I didn't even think about it that way. Because I was like, man, is this really the death of conventions? Like, first E3 and now San Diego Comic Con?
No, it's just that they don't have, like...
They don't have stuff.
Yeah, they only have what was already being made. So, like, Deadpool 3 went into production right before the strike happened. Or nothing. Like, I mean, there's not a lot in the middle. There's not... You can't take it anywhere if the script's not finished. So they are going to be debuting stuff like the Venture Brothers. Radiant is the blood of the baboon heart. I think this is like season 8 or 9, technically, of the Venture Brothers. It's a full length animated movie. Metalocalypse has something. I haven't seen anything from those guys in forever. The Death Clock dudes. That's crazy. And DC Justice League War World is debuting Friday. So they're going to air the whole movie in one of the halls. It is the first animated rated R movie from DC.
Really? I thought The Killing Joke was.
Was The Killing Joke rated R?
Yes, it was.
Why does this say the first rated R? Maybe this one got it wrong.
Yeah, it was a big deal because it was...
You're right. Oh, I read this wrong. Okay, no. Okay, that's not what it says. Okay. It says after the world premiere of the... Okay, of the R-rated animated film. Okay. You're right.
Because that released right after, hilariously enough, Sausage Party, which is the first animated rated R film.
No, and I forgot about that. I forgot. I totally forgot about The Killing Joke. It was just between the Batgirl Batman hookup and then just like the terrible weird side plot. I totally forgot about that movie.
Yeah, it's just a not good movie. Like, great story, great comic. Not a good adaptation. What were they doing?
Whatever they wanted, Nico.
And you know what? You know what's even weirder is something that I didn't even notice until I was explaining to Zach how it's the worst adaptation ever. The Batgirl narrates the first like 60% of the movie, and then the narration stops and then doesn't ever pick up again. A different character doesn't take it. No one else is like, all right, now I'm the narrator. It just ceases to exist.
Yeah, that's a terrible. Yeah, that's obnoxious. That would drive me crazy.
I was like, yeah, she's the narrator for like the first, and I was like, oh my god, it stops being narrated after that.
She's just the narrator for the first half, and then nothing else. Yeah, that's not a good.
Unfortunately, an El Bozo movie on like one of the very few DC misses in the animated universe.
No, you're right. They tend to nail the animated. They just released one that's only okay, which was the Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes. And that one, again, that one's only okay. I like the new animated style they're doing, though. I do like that, but the movie itself is only all right. Also, Superman is getting a new animated series on HBO Max.
Oh, it looks so good, too. People were so excited about it.
So I don't... I haven't seen any of the stuff for it, so I don't know yet. Look like the same animated style, so I'm at least happy for that part, but I don't know anything else.
It's interesting. I think it's Jonathan Kent. It's not Clark Kent.
Oh, okay.
It's a grown-up Superboy.
I don't know that I care for that as much, honestly.
Well, I mean, it's still Superman. It's very clearly they wanted to do a Superman story, but not do Clark Kent, so they're like, Jonathan Kent, here you go.
But isn't it kind of just overthinking it a little?
I don't know, maybe, but it's because it's like a young adult Jonathan Kent, but it's like him. It's him doing all the same things. You might as well just call it Superman.
Can we not just have like Superman?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because it's literally the exact same thing. Because it's like. The love interest is not Lois Lane, but, like, fills the same role as Lois Lane. Like, they still have Jimmy Olsen. Like, he's still a reporter, I think. Like,
nope, I don't like it.
The trailers look good.
No, I don't like it. No, I don't like it at all.
You haven't even seen it.
That's it, I'm out. You lost me. You cost them a viewer, Nico.
You're going to watch it anyways. It'll be fine.
I hope you're proud of yourself. You just ruined it for him.
You would have, we would have found that out immediately watching the show anyways.
Texted you all angry. Where is Clark Kent?
Yeah. He might even still be there. Like, there might be a second Superman.
Oh. I would probably like that a little bit better. Like, if occasionally Superman would show up and be like, wow, good job, son, but I'm here now.
Being like, man, I wish Dad was here. And he's like, what'd you say?
Right here, son. Right here. Do you need Superman? This sounds like a job for... Okay, sit down, old man. I don't know. I like that they are, like, that they're adamantly passing on the title. I get it. DC really is kind of investing back into their legacy concept, and that's fine for the most part. I want my Superman to be Superman and Superboy to be Superboy.
It was a different Superboy. It's his real son this time.
Get out of here with that noise.
Where's my 90s Superboy who maybe has Superman powers?
And right now it's great, so I don't need to hear that from you. Thank you. Leatherjacket Superboy is doing just fine without you.
I like Leatherjacket Superboy.
No, you just badmouthed him. I heard you.
I'm just saying that his origins are convoluted and his powers aren't clear. That's all I'm saying.
It got a little messy towards the end there, but he doesn't need you to say that. Thank you. He knows it. He's sorry.
He doesn't have to apologize. It's not his fault. No one knows how to write him.
The half Luther, half Superman clone has some regrets.
It's weirder every time you say it.
Yeah, I know.
Comic books, as much as you make fun of anime, comic books are equally outlandish. Oh, and you're like,
1,000%. But comic books sometimes embraces it in a good way, and sometimes comic books are like, well, we're totally normal. Like, what are you talking about?
And what that are you talking about? The Clone Saga was 100% written in good faith and 0%.
Oh, yeah. There was no tongue-in-cheek to that. They really, really thought they were nailing something with the Clone Saga. And every issue made it weirder and weirder and worse and worse. And what's funny is in real time, the fans were rejecting it. Like, it's not even like they were rejecting it later. Like, hey, on the second and third read, this doesn't work. Like, in real time, they were like, you did what?
Stop doing this.
It's so funny because A, they're right, but B, like, it wasn't even doing good as they were doing it, and that didn't stop them from dragging it out for years.
Yeah, and it's funny because we have all these legacy characters because of the Clone Saga now.
Right. Like, Ben Reilly was the Spider-Man in the main Marvel Universe for like 3 years. And people were writing letters to Marvel every day being like, what are you doing? And Marvel was like, no, we got it. It's cool. Finally, somebody was like, you gotta kill a clone, man. Like, you guys really still doing this?
Yeah, they were really, again, various hills to die on. A very weird one.
Yeah, that was such a weird, like, every time there was another Clone Saga reveal or another Clone Saga revelation or shocker or something, like, the fan response was this aggressive, just mass vomit noise from, like, just, you could hear it worldwide, just,
like, that's right, he was a clone the whole time, the collective Marvel fan base. Oh, God, stop, please.
Like, even in the end, when they kill Ben Reilly, and then his body turns to smoke to indicate he was always a Jackal clone. Like, even that moment was, like, so... The fans were like, why do you keep doing this? Even as you make it right, you ruin it again. Like, it was so bad. But it was one of those things that every time they... Like, it was almost like Marvel was just effing with people. Because they knew, and they still were like... Hey, let's do another twist here. Like, they were like, I'm going out of town for 3 weeks. I don't have to check my mailbox. Yeah, let's do it. Like they just knew what was going to happen. They knew everyone was going to hate it. They knew nobody was asking for it. And they were like, yeah, let's do another twist here.
No, you know what this saga needs?
More twists. Oh, man. Hey, I watched all of the first half of The Witcher, season 3.
And? Updates? Is it good?
Don't worry about it, the switchover. This show's pretty awful now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know what they won't stop doing? Talking about how Siri is supposed to be the chosen one. You know what I'm tired of hearing about? That Siri's the chosen one. This whole, all five episodes essentially revolve around one idea. That Siri is more important than every other character in the series. Here's the problem with that. The show's called The Witcher.
Yep, that it is.
It's just bad. It's just not.
Man, from such glowing reviews before.
I don't have any particular issue with any, like, I just, this is such a waste of, if you knew Henry Cavill was coming back for one more season, would you not write the most awesome fight the things and stab the guys and cut the things and like fights ever?
Yeah, or at least something interesting for people to latch on to.
While there is some violence in every episode, it's very mundane. Like, it's Henry Cavill beating up on people who aren't ready for it. You know what I mean? Like, guys who are like, someone paid me 3 silver pieces to find a silver-haired wolf. And he's like, yeah, I'm right here, jerk. And then slicey, slicey, 9 people are dead. Like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, great. Best 40 seconds of the show. Maybe next time you could fight a monster.
Nah, that'd be too hard. Too expensive.
They saved some money this year.
Man, so it's just not good. That's
I didn't enjoy it. I really didn't. And there's kind of some interesting vibes that happen. It's still just not it's just kind of underdelivers. As opposed to the last 2 years where, yeah, okay, let's train. Siri's important. The Witcher's on a quest. He's kind of finding his humanity. He's going through some stuff. Oh, but he also fights crazy monsters all the time. Not a lot of that. Almost none of it.
That's mad interesting. I'm so glad that this show's bad.
They definitely are setting you up so that by the time the other Hemsworth gets here, you're like, well, if he's going to fight somebody, I'll watch it. Like, is he going to fight anybody?
Or if you find out this is Henry Cavill's last season because he doesn't want to come back because he's got other things he's got to do.
Yeah,
you're just like, all right, well, we're just going to write the worst season ever so your departure doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah, they're like ready for you to go at this point because they're like, is this show over yet? Like, how many more times do we have to do this?
Tragic, but true.
Kind of a letdown. Sort of a letdown. Kind of a sort of a letdown. Now, there's still a second half of the season. They've done a lot of, like, intrigue. So I tell you what, if on this first episode of the next batch they just do some killing, I'm back.
But if they don't, are you
out? If they do a lot more world building, set up, what about this and how about that, and don't forget about Siri, yeah, I'm gonna lose my mind. Lose my mind. I'm gonna write a letter to my senator and explain to him why they need to make a law about The Witcher.
It's okay. You can just wait for the next Henry Cavill project.
Yeah. I'm sure it's going to be something Warhammer.
It is something Warhammer.
I think we knew that. But yeah, you know what I did see, though, at The Adventure Begins, Comics, Games, and More, our great sponsor that everybody should definitely take some time and check out. They are awesome on 1488. We also do Whatnot streams with Dollar Auctions Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Actual live dollar auctions. Check them out, 6:30 on Whatnot. It's called The Adventure. But they're finally releasing Invincible trades again. They're doing a new print version. And I saw the cover of the first one, and it is gorgeous. I walked by it. It is cool looking. So people need to get on that.
Yeah, the trailer just released for season 2. It looks good, man.
It's got to be. I mean, that's got to be coming up here in the next 2 months or so, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to. They made the whole mini trailer about, like, it's going to release at the end half of the year. So probably December-ish, November-ish.
Just so far away.
Yeah, but it's a lot closer than you think it is.
Just don't. I mean, I know how far away it is. I can see a calendar. Yeah, feels far away.
Then you look up and you're like, oh man, it's November. What happened?
That's called time travel. Oh. Stop looking up.
Am I time traveling?
Yes, we all are.
Oh, that's news to me.
That's what the NASA guy says. The guy I like. What's his name? Neil deGrasse. He points out that we are all time travelers at a relatively slow rate.
Sometimes it feels faster than that.
I do enjoy that bit. I like that answer. A little bit of news that's leaked out. Deadpool 3 will feature Hugh Jackman in his yellow-blue costume.
Ooh.
This has been something people have been begging for in the entire existence of Hugh Jackman Wolverine. So I'm excited for that. That's finally happening.
It honestly has surprised me that we've gotten this far.
And it hasn't seen it, right?
Right. Haven't even seen it. It hasn't even been like referenced. Like every time we've seen Wolverine, he's just been in the, to be fair, iconic fit of jeans, tank top, and or variations of jacket.
Yeah, he's definitely made that work for himself.
Yeah. Also, every cosplayer in the universe. Shout out to all the Logan cosplayers.
Why you gotta say it like that?
What? It's just a good costume.
You sound very bitter about that.
I'm not. I'm just saying that they opened the door.
You sound a little annoyed at the simplicity of their cosplay. I'm just saying.
I'm not. I just think it's funny because there's like 9 people that always look the same walking around the convention.
See, you do hate on it. Listen to you. I knew it.
I'm not hating on it. I just think it's funny.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anyone else you think is funny?
I'm going to recuse myself. This is fine. No further statements. My lawyer just called me. I'm taking this call.
We are not taking questions at this time.
Ooh, that's my lawyer. I should stop talking.
You definitely just displayed an unexpected amount of animosity towards guys just trying to be Wolverine.
I'm not. I have no animosity towards guys trying to be like Wolverine. Please, Wolverine cosplayers, do not attack me.
Just a bunch of guys going, bub.
Yeah.
I like your chances, Stretch. You got this.
I don't. I just have long arms.
That's true. All right. So by my count, we're pretty close to the wrap-up point on today's episode of Nerd Thug Radio. I do want to thank everybody. I hope everyone still has all 10 fingers and hands attached post this 4th of July weekend. I hope everyone did fun family barbecue explodey stuff. I hope they all had a great time. We're coming up on we're a little over halfway through the year. Nico, anything you're excited for as we're up against it here for what's coming out kind of the rest of the year?
Well, definitely Invincible Season 2. I think that's the number one thing that I'm like super excited about.
Okay. If it winds up making it this year, Stranger Things, I think, is the thing I'm most excited about. But if that doesn't roll, I'm intrigued by the second half of The Witcher. It's going to make or break this Henry Cavill run for me.
Ooh, tough words.
It just, like, listen, if the whole third season blows like this, then, like, yeah, I don't really care about the first and second at that point, right? Like, this can undo it. Can it not?
No, that's totally fair. It's like, here's a show that's now bad.
Yeah, and he was there the whole time.
It's how I feel about people talking about Supernatural.
Oof, yeah. Those guys loved the first, like, 7 seasons, but for whatever reason, watched all 20.
Yeah, they're like, oh, no, it's great. And you're like, really? Should I watch it? And they all go, no. And you're like, no. That's not a good sign. So is it good? And they're like, eh.
It's funny because they all seem to agree that, like, yeah, listen, but stop after, like, season 8. And you're like, what?
If I'm stopping watching the show, it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, though, because they do all do that. You're right. They all are like, no, I love it. But, like, don't watch past, like, the 9th season. And you're just like, really? But they all say it. So It is a weird thing.
It's yeah, a universal. It's a universal answer. It's like they're not even. It's clearly like no one. It's not just like a one person thing.
It's weird because they all tell you like, and I don't think it's the same number even. Also, like I don't think they even agree on which season is the cutoff point. But all of them to a fault are like after like that season 9, it's just all downhill.
Yeah, I've heard as early as 4 and as late as like 10. But there's like
I don't
20.
Know that I've heard anyone say a double digit. I feel like 8. Oh, or
maybe,
9
it may be 8. You might be right.
But even that, I mean, that's like because there's like 17 seasons, so there you go.
Yeah, that's still like not. It's still like 8 past what they're saying, and you're like,
yeah,
none of these.
None of them. Like a whole 10 after whatever they tell you to get out of, and they're like, don't watch any of them. Which is crazy because that's another 220 episodes where they're just like, it's terrible. Wow, that's a, like, when I said that number, that's a massive number. Still not as many episodes as we have. So think about that when you scroll through the library on Spotify. Thanks for liking, following, listening, subscribing. Go to facebook.com/NerdThugRadio. Click follow. Give us a thumbs up. Tell us how pretty we are. Tell us what month you were born, and I'll tell you what your parents were doing 9 months earlier. This has been an episode of Nerd Thug Radio. Thanks for hanging out. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. You should too.